Welcome back to another episode of IPL on Pod. We are in the business end of the IPL T20, 2020, where the aspirations are fulfilled and dreams are crushed. However, we are in a situation where the bottom teams are still alive, apart from obviously CSK, and top teams are yet to qualify for the playoffs. So, iska ek hi matlab hai ki we have a terrific episode of IPL on Pod coming up, because I mean, the business end and the moving week of the IPL still has a lot of masala left for the next week. We have my colleague Jigar Mehta making his debut on the show. So welcome, Jigar, to the show.
Yeah, hi. Thanks, Ujwal. Good to get back onto the pod.
welcome, definitely. And we also have our regular colleague, expert Shantanu. So Shantanu, welcome to you also.
Thanks, Ujwal. Thanks for having me back.
And as we always do, there are so many news points that we get from 1 week of an IPL action, but we only pick the most important ones and try to go deep into that and try to give you more insights and analysis, try to make you understand why, what happened and how it happened and what can pan out from here. But it's impossible to start off with anything else apart from CSK. I mean, CSK are out of the playoffs now that what happened on Sunday, considered, I mean, they defeated RCB to get vital 2 points, but then Rajasthan Royals defeated the mighty Mumbai Indians in their match by some very good margin, with Ben Stokes scoring a century, and that means that CSK are now out of IPL T20. They cannot go to the playoffs anymore. That's a huge shock. CSK have made it to the playoffs in every other season, in all of those previous 12 seasons, but this time it's no CSK anymore. So because Jigar is here for the first time, I think I would go straight to Jigar. Jigar, how do you look at this? I mean, we kind of knew that this will happen, but now that it has happened, do you think like it's one of the one of the biggest moment of the journey that IPL had?
Yeah, I think actually the manner of their defeats and the manner of them getting out of the tournament might have hurt them a little bit, because with CSK the bar was always high, isn't it? Qualifying for the playoffs for every season and making it to the finals all 8 times, I guess, from the 11 times that they have played. So the manner of their defeats and the way they just crumbled in the tournament, that might have hurt them a lot, and it's a shock for the tournament basically, and for the CSK fans with the manner of their play this season. But we should also consider the fact that they have been so successful in all these years, and I think they are the only team that did not have a kind of a blip in the previous season. So yeah, every team goes through it. CSK went through it, so it was their chance now. So yeah, they went through it, and now I think it's all about rebuilding, getting good players, flamboyant players, I can say, in the auctions, getting those young players and someone who can hit them hard and long with regards to strike rates also. So yeah, it's about rebuilding now, and I think CSK, they have a very very good think tank, and they will Stephen Fleming is a really good coach, head coach, so they will try and get the things right in the next year.
Yeah, I mean, they are known for their consistency, and fans would want them to be back to their best as soon as possible. We don't know how the auction is going to pan out, the coming auction, because the next IPL is not very far. So would we have a mega auction or not? There are still questions on that mega auction. If there is no mega auction, maybe CSK won't have enough space to really make those changes and all. But with Shantanu, what I want to know from you is, CSK obviously have been what they, I mean, we know their form has been bad. During this RCB match, I was listening to the commentary, and Simon Dhule and Sunil Gavaskar at one point of time, we were talking about Simon Dhule actually was justifying in some sense, let's say, if I can say that, CSK's performance this season. He said they got this team in 2018 and they won the title in 2019. They went to the final. So they didn't really do bad with this team. They got everything that they could get out of this team. So it should not really be, we should not really be that harsh, let's say, on CSK. But do you think it is a valid argument, or do you think here the captain has to take the blame? Do you think it is just not about the squad, but also how he has marshalled his troop this season? I mean, Dhoni hasn't really been that inspiring, right, with the bat or with the captaincy.
Yeah, absolutely, Joel, you're right. And well, I would say that Simon Dhule was being a bit too soft on CSK because, see, first things first, I know we have discussed it over and over again about the collective aging of the side. And when you are 32, 33 plus, even a two-year period can, you know, play a lot of tricks with your reflexes, with your eyesight, with the way you prepare your recovery, your rest, everything. So, I mean, I don't really buy into that argument ki do saal mein team mein, matlab, itna sare changes ho gaye. The changes in fortunes have happened because all of them lost their form collectively. And like you pointed out, Dhoni's leadership also in this season. Well, he is a T20 legend. He has been a T20 legend for a while now. But, you know, his captaincy style was very reactive, is what I feel. Even in during the phase when he was the test captain of India, he was not really a great test match captain. He was absolutely peerless in ODIs and T20s, but in test matches, well, he was very reactive. And that is what I think has happened into his captaincy this season. And quite a few calls that he took, you know, just backing the same players, not showing any willingness to, you know, bring in their bench strength. See, their season was midway through the second week of the IPL. We knew that this is going to be a tough season for them. They kept losing and they kept, opening with first with Murali Vijay and Shane Watson, and then with Duplessis and Watson. And it took a while to get rid of Watson. And, you know, it's strange to see that somebody like Imran Tahir came in so late into their playing 11. Someone like Santner, who is much younger, who is, you know, a very crafty spinner and also a good hitter and a very good fielder, a very good all-round package. He getting a game so late in the IPL. And normally with Dhoni, you do not expect, you know, these kind of misses, because he has always been a very horses for courses kind of a captain, somebody who picks his sides very intelligently after looking at the pitch. Here, I think that, you know, I don't know why he was, if I may use the word, pretty scared to experiment, or I don't know what was thing with him. But, and also the manner in which they have lost, I think Jigar pointed that out. You know, there was a lot of talk about missing intent, missing spark and whatnot. So if you look at their last three defeats, they lost by 5 wickets, 7 wickets, 10 wickets. And even before that, there was a game they lost by 40 odd runs. So these are huge margins in T20 cricket. And when a team is so thoroughly beaten, day in and day out, you know something is seriously wrong with them.
Definitely,
Ujjwal,
definitely.
I'd like to point out one thing. See, sure. The thing is, people thought that this tracks in UAE might help the spinners a lot, and it will slow down, the tracks are slow, etc. So a lot of things were expected from the CSK spinners, but they did not deliver. Basically, their strength has been their spinners, CSK's. And they, if you see, Piyush Chawla has gone for runs. Ravindra Jadeja has gone for runs. So basically, as Shantanu pointed out, they could have tried something different in the spin department with regards to a foreign spinner in Imran Tahir. And in general, their spin bowling attack did not deliver, basically. So I think they were missing that chepok feel as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, IPL suddenly shifting from India to UAE obviously would have spoiled a lot of plans for CSK. But then I guess that is something which probably would have gone against A lot of other teams also. I mean, that is where you build a team in such a way that you can probably, I mean, tackle any sort of surprise that can come up in a tournament, especially like IPL. Obviously, you don't never, you can never predict IPL moving out of India. I from my end, I wanted to add just a couple of things. I mean, one very important, I mean, obviously, Jigar and Shantanu already spoke about what is wrong with CSK and how they can go about correcting it. But I just want to add is that, I mean, Dhoni especially, I'm coming back to Dhoni. I mean, it's not really very, it's not a popular thing to criticize Dhoni, or maybe it is now a popular thing, but I want to come to Dhoni here. Dhoni delayed his batting, how should I say, he demoted himself, came out very late to bat from the very first game against Mumbai Indians, where, I mean, they were chasing. And Ambati Raidu, obviously, I think, was the man of the match. In the very first game of this IPL, he didn't come out to bat at his normal five position. He was probably the seventh. And that is where, I think, from Dhoni of 2011, where he promoted himself ahead of Yuvraj Singh to go and win the match, and to a Dhoni who didn't really want to bat. And not only there, but also against Rajasthan Royals at Sharjah. I think that is where the whole problem of Chennai Super Kings can be summed up. I mean, the whole arc probably is now done. I mean, for Dhoni. That's obviously my opinion. And another important thing. I mean, we wanted to do a special edition. We would be doing a special edition on Chennai Super Kings, but because Shantanu has already raised this point, again, I would want Shantanu to actually speak on this. I mean, now that the IPL actually got shifted from India to UAE, do you think there should have been a window where teams should have been allowed to make a few changes? In the sense, Chepauk is very spin friendly, but in the beginning we saw Pacers were doing very well. For Mumbai Indians, DC, we have seen Pacers have done very well. Do you think that sort of window should have been looked into? Or maybe going forward, if again there is any such change of complete, like a venue from shifting from one country to another, maybe it can always happen in India when you, for a general election, you move to South Africa or UAE. Do you think that probably would have been the ideal thing to do?
I mean, ideally, yes, but I see a lot of practical problems in that, because see, the venue, the UAE, was finalized at the very last moment, and then to adhere to all those COVID protocols, all those quarantining and creating a biosecure bubble, that takes a lot of time. And so the auction didn't take place this year, so teams would have, everybody was caught on the wrong foot. So but going forward, yes, I think teams would also be more wary of the fact that, you know, these kind of things can happen. And considering the fact that next IPL is not very far off, and if at all an auction, the big auction takes place, teams will be mindful of the fact that, you know, they need to pick squads that are workable in both conditions. And generally speaking, there is not much difference between the the UAE conditions and the Indian conditions. At least that is what the common wisdom says. But I think it's more to do with the time of the year that this IPL is being played. If this was being played in April, May, you know, that it's regular time even in UAE, like it was done in 2014, we wouldn't have spoken to so much about pitches and conditions, because then it's dry and humid all round. But now we see, with October coming in and temperatures going down in UAE, the second inning chases becoming more and more easier as compared to the first part of the tournament. So obviously these points are bound to come. But yes, like you said, that franchise is being better prepared for this. I think going forward, yes, they'll keep an eye out, especially as long as this pandemic lasts. And I don't know how many tournaments will actually be held during this phase.
Yeah, fair point. Actually, I think the suddenness of the decision that the IPL has to be shifted and the pandemic has to be shifted to UAE and the pandemic, I think it made, I mean, didn't give enough room or window, so to say, for BCCI to. But if anything like this happens in the future, BCCI would definitely be more ready. Now that
I would like to point out a couple of things here. So CSK had a chance to bring in players, basically. So they did not name the replacements for Suresh Raina and Harbhajan Singh. So basically,
good point,
that's where they could have had a good couple of players as replacements who could have clicked in the tournament. You can see that the other teams who had replacements, they have clicked basically. So if they could have had the replacements, they it could have been a different story, basically. So yeah, they did not name the replacements for Suresh Raina and Harbhajan Singh.
Yeah, definitely a good point. The reason why I was speaking about of a separate window, and despite CSK not naming those replacement, was the fact that obviously the teams, I mean, whether it is Nautier for DC who came in, I guess, for Vokes or Jason Roy, those replacements were named obviously before the IPL moved to UAE, if I'm not wrong. And another important thing is that CSK's bowling attack obviously always, apart from Harbhajan, they already have three spinners. So it's the pacers probably where they probably could have went for pacers. I mean, if there was a window, obviously they could have named those replacements. They didn't do it. I'm just saying that probably they would have had a better look at what they want. They could have probably planned much better. That's my idea. But obviously, as you said, those replacements could have been made, and those things probably could have made a crucial difference to CSK's campaign. It's time to move on. We have another other news points to discuss. And before we get into it, we have to look at the IPL table as well. What a week of IPL we have had. I mean, we have had KXIP obviously winning. They are on a winning run, four wins on a trot. We had KKR winning. We had Rajasthan Royals winning. We also had CSK winning. And we had teams like RCB losing, Delhi Capitals, Mumbai Indians losing. I remember with Anish and Subham, the previous podcast, we were talking about which four team will go through. And the clear names, that all three of us gave were of Mumbai Indians, Delhi Capitals and RCB. I mean, they can still very easily qualify. They have 14 points. They all need just one win. But now that the race is heating up, I mean, the CSK in one way played the role of party pooper by beating RCB, KKR, Kings XI Punjab. They are winning. They are winning with huge margins. It's becoming really difficult, especially when you consider who will finish in the top two, because those three teams, the top three teams, they are just not looking to qualify as soon as possible. And the advantage with the top two teams is that the loser of that first playoff match would get another chance. So that's the advantage that you get when you finish in the top two of the league table. So it's becoming very difficult. Jigar, I would again want your opinion on this. Just basic predictions. Who do you think should, in the end, finish as the top two teams? I mean, it's getting a little trickier, isn't it?
Yeah. The bottom teams have woken up, basically, and and they have just turned it around. So I think that the thing is, these teams had a chance basically to just win one or two matches more and qualify, but now it's become tricky. And if you see the fixtures right now, we can't predict which one is a easy fixture and which one is a difficult fixture, basically, because the bottom teams are going all out to stay alive and to stay afloat and just qualify for the playoffs. So right now, if you see the fixture difficulty, you can see that Delhi Capitals, they have SRH, MI and RCB. So basically, SRH is the game they would like to target, basically, to get those 2 points crucially, but MI and RCB will be tough. So you can say that each team now has to basically go all out and make sure that they qualify. I think that Mumbai Indians, and RCB are the top two teams which will take the qualifier one route, and then it will be Delhi Capitals, and fourth might be Kings XI Punjab, because they have the momentum and they have the beaten the big guns on the trot. So I think Kings XI Punjab might strike a surprise and get on to that fourth, into that top four.
Yeah, Jigar, being a resident of Mumbai, I was very sure that you would say Mumbai would finish in the top two.
No, but
But
basically they are looking as a strong side. Basically, today their bowling did not click, but they are looking a very strong side. And Hardik Pandya getting that much needed time in the middle. Basically, he was the one who was not contributing as much as the others were contributing. So him getting some time in the middle, and if you look at it, when Rohit Sharma is back. It adds to the strength of that team, and Bumrah is a game changer. Basically, he can win it on his day. He can single-handedly win it on his day. So I think that yeah, those are the top four teams that will go through.
Yeah, I was just kidding. Obviously, Mumbai Indians are defending champions, and they have a very strong core and a close-knit group. They are definitely the favorites to finish in the top two. I mean, and let's not talk about playoffs. They would definitely, I mean, hopefully, I mean, unless there is something major that happens from here, would definitely go to the playoffs. Shantanu, as I spoke about Jigar being a resident of Mumbai, you are a temporary resident of Delhi. So it is where you have to, I mean, pitch in with your thoughts on Delhi Capitals, because what I'm seeing here is the Delhi Capitals look like the best team for a very long in this IPL. But they have lost their last two games against Kings XI Punjab and Kolkata Knight Riders, and they have lost it by some very good margins, like by 5 wickets and 59 runs. This is not really the same Delhi Capitals. I mean, they conceded over what 190 runs to KKR. I mean, their bowling was considered to be the best in this tournament, considering that they are a team with a young core, talented but very young core. Do you think that they peaked really very early? And maybe things can go bad for them from here. They can still, I mean, they would probably make it to the playoffs, but it is about winning the title, isn't it? I mean, for Delhi, it was about winning the title because they made it to playoffs last season also.
Yes, you are very right. I think with the bowling attack of their pedigree and with their caliber, and we can say the same thing about Mumbai Indians also. Both these bowling teams had to have one off day, and I think both of them would be slightly happy that it happened before they entered the playoffs. So tonight's results and Delhi Capitals' recent losses may not have too much of a bearing on the playoff chances, so to say. But yes, two big losses on the trot for Delhi Capitals will definitely get them thinking. It should get them thinking. And there are a few areas. Shikhar Dhawan has started firing, but then Prithvi Shaw has gone off the boil. He has not really contributed for a while now, and lots of single digit scores, string of single digit scores. So that is an area. And then Tushar Deshpande, promising young man, but he keeps giving lots of runs. So, I mean, there are a few areas, few holes to plug, but I still back them to, get into top two. I don't know if they'll make it to the top or the second position, but it doesn't matter. In any case, if you're top two, you'll get a couple of chances to make it to the finals. But for me, I think they are too good a team to miss out this time round. They have a few matches coming up next season, and like Jigar said, I think they'll be really targeting Sunrisers Hyderabad to just get done with that match and, make their playoffs place their own.
Yeah, I mean, just so that you have the bragging rights later, I also want you to predict who do you think will be the top two teams and probably who could be the fourth team going into the
Okay.
playoffs.
I think top three will remain the same: Mumbai Indians, Delhi Capitals, RCB. Fourth is obviously, needless to say, it's a toss-up between KKR and Kings XI. But given the momentum that Kings XI have, and suddenly they seem to have woken up, the bowling, batting, everything. So I would love to see Kings XI making it to top four. It could be third or fourth or whatever, but they need to be there because they are such an entertaining side when on song. And these two guys, KL Rahul and Mayank Agarwal, they deserve to be in top four. And look at the way they have batted. And the orange cap holder, how many times have we seen in IPL that a team having an orange cap holder missing out on a playoff berth? So credit to them, they have literally woken up from the dead. And last week was phenomenal for them. They you know beat 1, 2, 3 sides, and with significant margins, so to say. So they are a team on an upswing, and don't we all love underdog tales?
Yes, both Jigar and you are predicting KXIP to make it to the playoffs. So I was going to say that just for the sake of being a little different here, and for my love for Morgan, I think KKR would sneak through. I mean, they would somehow. I think Morgan is now starting to get the hang of it. I mean, Lockie Ferguson coming back, Sunil Narayan working for him. I mean, he promoted Narayan ahead of him. I mean, Morgan is a batsman of high caliber. It's not like he can't do it. But I think that belief that he brings with himself, and obviously his astute leadership and all things, I would just give that small edge. I mean, he also has Brendan McCullum with him as a coach. I mean, you have a good coach, you have a good captain. So I'm still sticking with my prediction of last week, that is KKR going ahead of KXC. That would be a huge heartbreak for Punjab, but yeah, that's what I think.
When we just finish this pod, just pick up the phone and please call up Brendan McCullum and tell him that please promote Owen Morgan up the order.
No, so the thing is that I regularly advocated on this podcast that Morgan should be batting ahead of Dinesh Karthik. But that day, I really didn't have any complaint. I mean, I'm sure he's not going to do it in the coming matches. Or maybe it is something that he's going to try out only on special occasion. That's what I feel. I think it is a move to surprise others, plus to make full use of the, whatever the condition, let's say, or to bring the momentum back on the side of the KKR. So that kind of a decision it was. I don't think he's going to do that regularly. But I'm just trying to admire his smartness there, actually. And Shantanu, I think, was asking about my top three picks. I think my top three picks would stay as what it is on the table right now. That is MIDC and RCB. But I'm going to continue on this DC thing. So here I would like to bring in Jigar again. I mean, so obviously, Shantanu gave us an idea about the problems that DC are facing. I just want to narrow down a little more on those problems. What I see, I mean, if we are ready to forget the last two matches, their bowling obviously have been one of the best in this IPL. But the problem here is obviously with their batting. Shikhar Dhawan is doing a lot of work, 300 runs in the last five matches. Shaw isn't working out for them. Rahane is looking really low on confidence. But the middle order as well, I mean, we saw Marcus Stoinis making that half century, I think, in the first match that gave them the super over win. I mean, they gave them the chance to get into the super over, and then they won against KXIP. But it's not going to always click, right? I did the preview for First Post when the season started, and I look at Marcus Stoinis' record. He's not really a very good number six batsman. He scored some 715 runs in Big Bash last season, but that is when he was opening. And then you have somebody like Hetmyer, who's not really reliable. So what I'm trying to know from Jigar here is that, do you think they have enough bench strength to make a change and rectify that problem, listen? Or do you think sticking with whatever they have that has given them the results so far, with few changes here and there, is what DC should do?
So I think they do not have that enough bench strength, but they have that talent in their side, the current talent. They need to click, basically. So if you see, Rahane hasn't clicked as an opener. Prithvi Shaw is going through a low phase. So one of the two has to click, basically, in the opening partnership. Relying only on Dhawan won't work, and it will be too much of a pressure for him also. So, I don't see a change in the opening order also, basically, because I was thinking maybe Shreyas Iyer could go on and open the innings. But basically, I think that either Rahane or Prithvi Shaw has to find a form to get into the things. And basically, Stoinis gives them the bowling option as well. So I don't think they will be looking at Alex Carey as a batting option, basically. to get into to make sure that something they bring in some fresh legs into the 11. So see, the problem they are facing right now is that opening slot, as we mentioned, and the middle order thing, because Hetmyer isn't consistently getting runs, and in the last two matches, the middle order 4-7 batsmen have averaged just 12. So yeah, that's the thing. And here I'll have to bring in Rishabh Pant, because Rishabh Pant hasn't sort of basically looked his own self, the Rishabh Pant we have known. If you see, his strike rate is 117.2. It is the third lowest for the batsmen who have played 150 balls or more. So he has to take on more responsibility. He's getting those 30s. He was getting those 30s. But in the last three innings, he has scores of 5, 14 and 27. So that is where he has to pick up in that middle order, because that his inclusion in the starting 11 gives them the balance. So he has to pick it up and get those 50s rolling in the coming matches, because his part is crucial in that middle order, and the team depends a lot on Pant and the likes of Hetmyer to get those runs even at the death. So Rishabh Pant is someone who I'm looking at taking more responsibility and getting more runs, so that Delhi order, we were talking about how balanced the Delhi lineup is, and suddenly now we are talking about that the middle order not clicking, and the opening slot not clicking. So that's something they have the worry about. But I think the current lot will get back to form and take them through to the playoffs. One thing I've noticed that Prithvi Shaw, basically, the teams are trying to set him up basically with that short ball strategy. So it makes him uncomfortable, and then maybe it's a frustration or something like that. And they are taking his wicket basically by setting him up. So that is something he would be kind of sorting it out in the nets and talking to the likes of Ponting, who is one of the very good players of who was very good player of short delivery. So yeah, he would be talking to the seniors and getting his stuff right. So yeah, their middle order needs to just click, because they have a very good pace attack, and that pace attack is basically winning them a lot of matches. So Tushar Deshpande also, I think he is kind of the first match he impressed with that final over, but then he's gone for 40 runs, so one of them in just two overs. So these players who are playing in the current team, if they get their form back, I think they are still a very good side.
Yeah, just to add a few points there, I mean, you spoke about Prithvi Shaw. What I have felt is that short ball obviously is a problem for him. That is apparent. We have seen it. But he also doesn't move his feet much while batting. I think that also makes it a problem for him to play the balls that are coming back in. And another aspect where he can definitely improve is his fielding also. For somebody who is very young, I don't think he's very athletic. I mean, he can definitely improve in that department also. But to sum up the problems that DC have, if I am Ricky Ponting and if I am looking at the bench that the team has, I mean, what options do I have? I have Alex Carey, I have Keema Paul. Those are not really very impressive options. So probably I would stick with the team that I have been fielding and the players that I have been fielding. As Jiga said, maybe it is time for players like Pant to finally click and start giving those performances that we expect from them. And maybe that would sort out the problems for DC. Fans would definitely hope that they have not peaked too early, and maybe they still have enough gas in the tank. But we both, Jigar and Shantanu predicted KXIP to be the team which can actually trump over KKR and SRH and all the teams. By the way, let me add just one thing, okay? If by any chance SRH and RR people are listening to this podcast, we don't have anything against SRH and RR. So if we approach you guys for any interview, please do not say no. We are predicting that KXIP will go through just because they are in a very good form and KKR are right now sitting at the fourth position. Back to the topic. So KXIP obviously are in a great form. They have won four matches back to back. They have defeated teams like MI, DC, RCB and defended 126 against SRH. So they are looking very much the team which should get to the playoffs. Obviously, by not winning the matches earlier, they have made their task very tough. But if they do manage it, it will be one of the stories of this IPL. Shantanu, back to you. I mean, what is the secret of this resurgence?
I wish I knew, because something strange has happened with them, and is for the good, obviously. A couple of weeks back, I remember we were talking about KL Rahul's captaincy, that, you know, at times he looks disinterested and not making the right changes, not playing Gale and stuff like that. But I suspect things started moving when they brought Gale in. That gave them some heft in the middle order. And the thing is, Gale started firing from the first match itself. He never looked out of touch. And he would have played a couple of matches earlier had he not been down with food poisoning. But I remember one of his pre-match interviews where he said that, where he actually said that he was not happy being rested. So he was really itching to go, and he started throwing it from the first match he got. So yes, that has been a factor. And then we have seen Nicholas Puran playing a few cameos. So the thing with a half-decent middle order is, even when your top order sometimes fail, and if you have batsmen who are playing only up to, even if they're playing up to 80 to 90% of their top form, teams usually, they sail through. And that seems to have happened here. An example I'd like to cite here is of SRH. Remember the game where David Warner and Bairstow got out early, and then Manish Pandey and Vijay Shankar took them home. So yes. That is there. And then with KKR, we saw one game recently. It works both ways, actually. If you look at one of those CSK games where they won by 10 wickets, and all of us started thinking that, this might be resurgence and all, but that sort of hit the frailties of their middle order. So the thing is, if your middle order is not getting enough balls to play, or if they're not confident enough, you'll always struggle. And you guys were discussing about Delhi Capitals. I think that has happened with them also. So this middle order, it keeps happening with Indian cricket team also, number three, number four, number five. So I'd like to say that, what has worked with Kings 11 is their middle order has shown some consistency of late, and that has got a lot to do with their number threes and number fours. And of course, the fact that Rahul and Mayank have managed to carry on their purple patch for so long. It's very rare you see batsmen, never getting out of form for this long. It's almost, they have played, I think, 11 or 12 matches, and they've got decent starts in every game. So that's there. And then Mohammad Shami finding his rhythm in that unforgettable super over where he matched Bumrah Yorker for Yorker. So that gives, imagine the kind of confidence that would have given, that it would have given to Shami and the whole bowling unit. And in their previous match, we saw Arshdeep and Murgan Ashwin also contributing, and Chris Jordan coming back to form. So things seem to be finally falling into place for them. And they are finally looking a more settled outfit. If you remember their earlier matches, people would come and go, and we really wouldn't know who is going to play in the next match, barring Rahul and Mayank. Now we can we know that they have a good core of about 6 to 8 people who are performing in their own capacities in almost every other game. So yeah, I guess that is there.
Yeah, definitely. So Jigar, in addition to what Shantanu said, obviously they are not doing bowling well in that overs. They are getting runs from the middle order with Pooran scoring, Maxwell pitching in one of the match, I think, against Sunrisers Hyderabad. But there are a few other things, I think, which have helped KXIP put in this run. I feel that they have understood which players to pick when and to drop when. In the sense, what I'm trying to say here is that when they won that match against KKR, they won that super over match against MI. They had Chris Jordan playing for them. Yeah, MI, yeah. So they had Chris Jordan playing for them. And then they, against DC, they had Jimmy Neesham playing for them. And then again, against Sunrisers Hyderabad, they brought back Chris Jordan in place of Jimmy Neesham. Jimmy Neesham did very well for KXIP in that game. I mean, did pretty well when they defeated Delhi Capitals. So that chopping and changing just wasn't some bizarre decision-making, but it showed that there is some method to the madness. Plus, Maxwell also spoke about SRH match, that the team's morale never really went down. There was always a belief in the dressing room. They always had that positive vibe going around. So do you think those factors made KXIP the team that they are right now and will take them forward also?
See, right now, I would like to slightly digress from the views of you two, because I don't think that the batting order, batting problems have been solved. KXIP are basically a team of two extremes right now. They are snatching defeats from victory, which they used to do earlier. Now they are snatching victory from defeat. So it's kind of that sort of a roller coaster for them, where there are two extremes for them. So in the last match, they just managed 126. That middle order is still a problem for them. Basically, Maxwell is not clicking, and Pooran, they need more from Pooran. Basically, more consistency and some big scores from him. So the batting needs some consistency more going forward, because 126 against any other team would have been really, really difficult to defend, because Sunrisers Hyderabad don't have a good middle order, and they are basically they lost 7 for 17, I guess, in that match. I don't think any other team crumbling to that situation against KXIP with their batting orders. So I think they need to sort out their batting much more. Basically, they need to get that consistency much more. So what I think has clicked for them is the energy that Chris Gayle has brought, and that has basically allowed KL Rahul to play with a little bit more freedom at the top, because he was trying to take a lot of responsibility on his head and trying to go the distance. But now he knows that Chris Gayle can turn it around from any situation. So that adding Chris Gayle has had an impact overall. And the other thing is that, see, I think Jordan should play all the matches from now on, because he is the one who has had an impact on the death bowling as well. So if you see the last four matches, I think he did not play the one match that you pointed out. But in all, he has been terrific after being hit for runs in his first few matches. So he went for 56, he went for 42, and he went for 37 in the first three matches that he played. But then he came back and took 1 for 20, 1 for 32, and 3 for 17. He was the man of the match in the last game. And in that super over also, he bowled well against MI. So the death bowling has been one of the strong points of KXIP. I'll give you one stat. In the first 7 matches, the death bowling for KXIP conceded at 13.30 per over. And now they have, in the last 4 matches, they have conceded 8.82 per over. That is really, 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 really good improvement from where they were earlier. And they have picked up 14 wickets. That is the highest number of wickets in the last four matches in the death overs. So their death bowling, especially with Arshdeep and Jordan, they have had a really good impact on their death bowling, and that is helping them a lot. And the other thing, it's not just the death bowling. I'll point out that the middle overs bowling also has been really good for them, and that is because of the inclusion of Murugan Ashwin as well. That has been a really good inclusion. He has been a really intelligent bowler and bowling good lengths. And in the middle overs, they have an economy rate of 6.81, which is the third best among the teams in the middle overs. So they have been doing their bowling also well. And those inclusions basically have worked for them. And specifically, if I point out one player who has been really good for them has been Arshdeep Singh. He has shown great temperament and handled the situations, tough situations, really well. So all in all, these are the things that have got them up here. But I don't think that they have perfected their approach. Basically, they need to get some consistency in that batting again.
Yeah, right. Obviously, I mean, they are far from being a perfect unit, and it has shown in the results that they had in the earlier part of the season. You spoke about their death bowling and middle overs, and that is the kind of thing that I was trying to point out when I was saying is that the management, the Kumbles and the Rahuls, they know their team now very well. I mean, much better than they in the earlier part of the season, in the sense getting Jordan in, getting Arshdeep in, putting Cottrell out, getting Maxwell to bowl in the power play. I think they now know what are their limitations and what are their strengths, and they are strengthening their strengths, as Sangakkara put in one of the match, I guess. So I think that is also something that has worked for them, even if the middle order has not really fired and you also have to credit the players that have come in and have contributed from the word go. So that shows the character of the players. But decision making also has played a huge part in that. But as you pointed out, the middle order still remains a concern. Shantanu pointed out that the runs from middle order have helped them to put in this run. And Shantanu is right also in one respect, that the fact that earlier we only had the opener scoring runs, and now that the middle order is giving some sort of support to them, KXIP is able to put up targets which are either defendable or able to chase down scores. But here where they have a big problem. They have a big ticket player in Glenn Maxwell, expensive player, comes in with a huge reputation of somebody who can destroy a bowling attack just on his own, on his day. Scored a century, I think, against England in the recently concluded ODI series before the IPL got Australia to a win while chasing. So it looked like Maxwell was ready for this IPL, and you don't ever like to have this sort of conversation. But Shantanu, do you think it is time that teams should stop looking at Maxwell, maybe start looking beyond him? Because Maxwell doesn't really have an impressive IPL record. I mean, if you compare it to the reputation that he carries around, and he has an average of 22. The strike rate is 155, I think, his IPL strike rate. But this season, it has only been 102, and he's been struggling whenever he has been sent in the middle. Apart from that one match against TC, which KXIP won with him scoring 32 of 24, again against SRH in their last match, which they won somehow by defending 126. The platform was there for him. He needed to score runs. I mean, Gale had and Rahul had put together some runs. The foundation was there, but he just didn't manage to do it. I mean, do you think, am I being too radical here by saying that teams should start looking beyond him, or do you think there is still scope for a player of that reputation to make a comeback?
Well, frankly, I would not blame Kings 11 if they start thinking on those lines, and because well, he has failed far too often. And when this edition started, all of us were talking about how in 2014, when Kings 11 went to the finals, Maxwell played a stellar role, and especially in the UAE leg of the event, he was unstoppable and things like that. But here, he has not hit a six so far. And forget about hitting sixes or fours, it just doesn't look comfortable at the crease. And I don't know if it's got something to do with his batting position, or invariably at the times when he comes in, the pitches start, the pitches get slower, the spinners are in operation. But you know, he has always been a middle order batsman, so you would expect him to really read the spin well and really adjust his game plan according to the situation. And he's an international player. And when you have just four internationals in your playing 11, there is a lot more premium on your international recruits. Having said that, if Kings 11 and Maxwell would have seen tonight's game, they would have really felt a lot easier looking at how Ben Stokes went about his business. Because much like this guy Maxwell, Stokes has been was more of a batting liability in his side. I think he clicked in his sixth match. He had already played five matches where he hasn't hit a six, where he hadn't scored too many. And more often than not, he was getting out in the park itself. So, of course, Stokes was opening and it was not his natural position, but he was looking out of sorts and finding no rhythm at all. Maxwell pretty much in the same shoes. So, yeah, if they would hope that the law of averages does finally catch them in a good way and he starts firing. But if you look at the squad, if they drop him, who else do they bat in his place? There is Karun Nair, who they tried in the earlier games. There's Mandeep Singh, there is Prabh Simran Singh, and pretty much nobody else. I mean, they're light on that department. And that is why he's such an important member of their squad. And you could see, you could sense in their game plan, they are just trying to make best use of him. They are making him bowl more and more, giving him more opportunities to bowl even in the park plays and stuff like that, because they want to get more out of him. It's a combination of a couple of things. His quality, because you would know that some stage he will come good eventually, and the fact that they really don't have any other option maybe. So yeah, your question. I just forgot your question. Yeah, it was. would you still give him a long rope, or you know, I would. If I am Kings 11, I would bite the bullet. I would wait because this is we are in the business end of the tournament. If this call would have had to be taken, it should have come long back. Now that they are settled in some ways, at least you know teams fear that at some stage he might hit that elusive six and maybe that would get him going. Who knows? I would persist with him.
Yeah, but my question was actually more about his IPL future and not pertaining just to the current season, actually. It was about, as we have seen with players like Ross Taylor, Colin Munro, Martin Guptill, for some reason, I only said of New Zealand players, but whatever. We have seen big players not being picked. Gale also once, I think, wasn't picked. I mean, when KXI took him 2 years back, and then only in the last round he was picked. So, I think in 2015 also or something like that, he wasn't and came in as a replacement. So we have seen some of the big names actually being completely ignored in the IPL auction. And that is what I was actually asking. Do you think Maxwell is going to be ignored next auction?
High chances. It depends a lot on how he performs in his next three or four games. But I mean, given the fact that he's a very good fielder, he also gives you some overs. I don't think so. He's going to miss the bus this time round. But yeah, teams would be start. I think teams should actually ideally be looking at more utility players than big names.
Yeah. Jigar, do you have a different opinion on Maxwell's future, or do you think he's tough enough to be back with some good performances and we will have more of him in the coming seasons?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think we should count him out basically for the next season or anything like that, because basically it's about confidence as well. So I think that there is a little bit of confidence that is lacking with him. I don't know the reason, what could be the reason. I feel that it's just a confidence thing, and once he gets it going, then he can be a very devastating player. And it all depends on what for the next year and the future. It also depends on what kind of international games he is playing as well. So if he's doing really well for Australia in that T20 format, and he's scoring heaps of runs, you cannot ignore him in the auction. So I think he's kind of a player who will give you utility runs and utility overs also. And that's what I was going to point out here also, that for this season as well, the team needs to look at what they want from Maxwell, basically. Because now, right now, with the pitches getting slower, he is giving them some utility 4-4 overs in the matches. And he has been doing a lot of matchups. He has been bowling in a lot of matchups to the left-handers also. So it depends on what the team exactly wants from him also. If it's both batting and bowling, so yes, they can. I think that one more game, they might give him one more game and see where it's taking him, and then look at the other options. I guess after one more game, if he doesn't click, then they have the chance of getting in Jimmy Neesham, who can bat in the lower order, middle lower order, and bowl as well. But they need to look at it in a way where they need a spin as an option with Maxwell, or a medium pace in Jimmy Neesham. And the other option as well, I think they should have tried basically giving more chances to Sarfaraz Khan. He can be explosive in that middle lower order. So yeah, I think we cannot discount him out. We cannot count him out for the next seasons, because he is that kind of a player who if he's in his flow, he can give you runs, and those are match winning runs basically. So yeah, it also depends on his form, what his form is before the auctions, or maybe if he's called in as a replacement, what his form is, and then take a call. I wouldn't count him out at this stage.
Yeah, I mean, it's always difficult to predict anybody's future, let alone Glenn Maxwell. I mean, he comes with a reputation for good reasons. I mean, he has shown from time to time what he is capable of. I just want to point out that he's a 10.75 crore player. KXIP shelled out 10.75 crore for him, and only 50 lakhs for Jimmy Neesham. So him getting compared to Jimmy Neesham shows how probably deep he has fallen. And the fact that KXIP is now using him as a power play bowler is probably akin to how you buy a chair and you don't find it comfortable, and then you at least start using it to dry clothes, at least making some use of it. I mean, I'm being a little unnecessary, maybe harsh on Maxwell, but I just feel that 10.7.
No, I agree with you. I kind of agree with you because you know, Jimmy Neesham should have gotten more opportunities. He is more of a batting all-rounder, and so is Maxwell, because I've seen that, you know, Kings 11 have this tendency of using Neesham more to bowl, and in a way they have been forced by Maxwell's form to sort of make him bowl more. But Neesham, by his expertise, is a batting all-rounder, and he's known to clear, you know, big grounds, something that Maxwell is supposed to be specializing in. So if Maxwell is not performing in his A role, rather than, you know, expecting him to turn tables for in his B role, why not give somebody an opportunity who might just excel in your A role? So I would say, if I was Neesham, I would have been disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, if you are a 10.75 crore player, you should be giving a match-winning contribution, or almost a match-winning-like contribution in every, like, four matches. That's what my opinion is. I mean, I'm not trying to be unnecessarily harsh on Maxwell, but maybe teams would now start looking at his salary. And as Jigar said, I mean, he's too valuable a player to completely go out of the picture, but may not remain anymore 10.75 crore player, obviously. I think that price is going to come down drastically in coming seasons.
One thing I've seen is that I don't think it's maybe my personal opinion, but I don't see the budget of the player and his performance. Basically, you cannot just judge a player on his budget or maybe judge his performances on a budget, because in the past seasons also we have seen that a lot of expensive players, they have flopped, basically totally flopped. Earlier it was Yuvraj Singh, I guess, who had flopped. Then there was Pawan Negi. So you can see that Pat Cummins is giving the output. Yeah, Jaydev Unadkat was taken for runs in his earlier season. So I think the price, it will affect going forward, his price range. But in terms of performances, it's very difficult to just, compare the budget and the price range and the player performance. Because, Pat Cummins wasn't in this edition. He was really costly player. He was not giving the output that was expected of him, basically, with his bowling. But now he's starting to come into his own and picking up wickets as well, which he was not doing earlier. So I think that, you cannot just... it's a 10.7 crore pick, yes, but I don't think teams look at it that way in terms of their price ranges. Because a lot of high price players have warmed the benches throughout the season. 4 crore players have warmed the benches throughout the season. So I don't think the teams will look at it in the view of price range. But yes, in terms of performances, I think, definitely, I think Nisham gets a look in. But I think one match for Maxwell, and let's see what happens in that one match.
Yeah, I mean, as you mentioned also in your argument, that is what I am looking at. I mean, I'm not saying that he's going to go out of the picture, but I definitely see that he won't really command that kind of fees anymore. I mean, it's not about this season. I mean, Maxwell has been around for us some time in IPL. I mean, and you can only remember maybe one or two seasons where you were like really impressed with Maxwell. I mean, he has been in IPL for a long time, so that's the kind of argument that I was trying to build. However, it's time for us to move to our last section before we bid goodbye, and that's the next week's schedule, or should I say the current week's schedule, because it's going to be the biggest blockbuster week of this IPL. I mean, CSK may be out, but we still have four teams. Four spots in playoffs still vacant, and you have three teams which are very close to that those spots with 14 points. So, Shantanu, I will come to you. What are the matches that you are looking at? What are you expecting in this week?
Well, I'll be keenly following Kings XI Punjab, because that is, I believe, will be the team to beat. And just for the sheer entertainment value they bring to the table. The first game they play is tomorrow, which is against KKR. And, you know, both these teams are vying for that one spot, one slot. That's the number four spot. And it will be very interesting to see how they go about their business. And I was just going through the points table. Both of them have played 11 matches so far. And Kings have won 5. KKR have won 6. So there's just one match, one result separating two of them. And who knows if Kings 11 go through tomorrow, they might as well, you know, go on to play the playoffs. So that is one match I'll be looking forward to. And yes, since we have already spoken so much about CSK, I would like to see the approach Dhoni takes now that the season is over for them. You know, this is a very uncharted territory for both for CSK and Dhoni. They have never been in this kind of an embarrassing situation. And so I would like to see how they bounce back from this, what kind of approach they take, what kind of players they field. So
over there, and in more ways than one. If you and Ujwal, you follow football a lot, you would know what has happened with Barcelona. You know the collective aging of the side, what it can do to your team and stuff like that. So I see a parallel there, and we saw what happened in Clasico the other night. So
yes.
I mean, a lot of things. I've said this before.
I don't watch La Liga anymore because it is on Facebook. Okay, please continue.
So I would say that CSK's quote unquote resurgence is what I'm looking at, and Kings XI Punjab, of course, because of the entertainment value they bring.
Yeah, before I go to Jigar, I would just share what I am looking forward to, and I'm looking forward to Mumbai Indians matches, and I would say why. Mumbai Indians have two matches, only two matches. They have matches against RCB and Delhi Capitals. Now, the interesting thing here is that Rohit Sharma has been out of the last two games. We don't know what is bothering him. I think it is a hamstring issue, but how serious it is, we have no idea. BCCI has given no clarity on that. And Mumbai Indians, I think, maybe gave a statement. I don't clearly remember, but there wasn't much details in it. So what I'm thinking, if by chance Rohit Sharma doesn't come back and Mumbai Indians go on to lose against RCB and Delhi Capitals and end up finishing at third position, then it can always get tricky for the defending champions. I mean, they look like a team which can beat any opponent on any other day, but without the talismanic leader, you never know. So those are the two matches that I am looking forward to. Jigar, now I will come to you for what you are looking to, and I'm sorry if I have stolen your thunder. I mean, in case if you're going to say Mumbai Indians.
No. Actually, I was going to say the top teams. Those are definitely ones to look out for as well, because as you said that. See, right now I think that everyone has a difficult fixture on paper. Basically, when you look at it. Compared to the earlier form-wise, I think KXIP has decent fixtures in KKR, RR and CSK, basically. If you look at it in a way where we are looking at the form which was before this stage happened, before the last few matches happened, where every team is going all out. So they have KKR, RR and CSK. SRH have very difficult fixtures going forward. So SRH are meeting DC, RCB and MI. So they are having tough fixtures. So basically I'll have a look at how the top teams are getting back into form, basically, and how they are responding to their defeats late in the season, because it will also have an impact going forward in the playoffs, how they shape up for the playoffs as well, because these last 2-3 matches are very crucial with regards to the confidence as well. As we saw that momentum can be a very very important cog in the team's armory. So momentum will be the key, and the top teams will look to get into the momentum phase, because I think the top teams will be looking to get at least 2 wins from the next 3 matches from here on to have a guaranteed spot in the playoffs. So that will be their aim first, and then if it doesn't happen that way, then they will be looking to just win whatever is left and have a very good run rate. So the run rate will also matter in this case, because there is a lot of fight between the teams, and we have seen in the past also a lot of teams ending up on the same points, and the net run rate plays a crucial role. So I think to start it off, this KXIP versus KKR match will give us a good bit of hint on who could be the fourth team that could qualify along with the top 3 teams. So yeah, I'm looking at the top teams for me. I'm looking at them and the KXIP matches, where I look at the momentum, form and how they are shaping up, because it could get tricky for the top teams also. we are just talking about the bottom half of the team, the second half of the table, but it could get tricky for the top teams also if they do not get their rhythm or momentum back.
Yeah, KXIP or KKR, which team would eventually make it to the playoffs? That is going to be the big question this week, isn't it? I mean, that is going to hold most of the interests. That's it, guys. I mean, it was lovely talking to both of you. Thank you for being on the show. And to our listeners, I would like to say is that the podcast is available on Audio Boom. Subsequently, would be available on Google Podcast, Spotify. We would be back again next Monday, which I think would be a very masaledar show because we would have our four playoff teams, and we would also bring in the review of their season, and maybe also look at the other teams that have not done well or other important talking points. Thank you guys for being with us, and bye-bye.